The National Mental Health Crisis Hotline just got easier to remember. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Marielle Segarra. A note to listeners, in this episode, we talk about suicide. Before this past weekend, if you wanted to call the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, you had to dial a 1-800 number. But that phone number just got way shorter. Now it's 988, though the old one still works. Calls to the Lifeline are routed to local counseling centers, generally in the caller's community. Tim Jansen is Chief Executive Officer at Community Crisis Services in Maryland, one of the centers that answers 988 calls. He says Vibrant Emotional Health, the company that does administration for the Lifeline, and the Department of Health and Human Services worked together to secure the number, but it took a few years.
They lobbied the FCC, they did some studies, they looked at what the appropriate number would be, they looked at some of the N11s, you know, many of them are already taken, 411, 211, 911, 711, many of them, most of them actually are taken. And they wound up at 988 so that it would be unique to crisis and suicide and mental health services.
I feel like the technology that drives this, it's got to be rock solid, right? Because the stakes are high. What is being done to make sure that it's all going to work when it gets super busy?
You know, it's interesting because it has worked all of these years. We've been doing it 17, I guess it is at this point. But over time, there have been a couple of times when the system got rocked. And so the week a few years ago when Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain both died by suicide, numbers went up by like 400% in a day. You know, they saw a need for more centers, so they created some more regional backup centers. So far, knock wood, so good. The weekend when, you know, 988 was officially launched, didn't see any technical glitches, and we rarely see technical glitches. One of the beauties in having 200 centers across the country and 12 regional backups is if you have an issue in certain areas, you can move to the other areas. So there are lots of things in place to make sure that calls get answered.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting about the spike in calls that you got. And I wonder what you think the reason is.
There are a lot of people that struggle and they don't always know where to turn. And so I think as the number sort of permeates through the culture, people feel better and better about picking up the phone and calling. Like when Logic wrote the 1-800 suicide song that specifically mentioned the number, the calls hit the ceiling, you know, around that time as well. So I think it's really people understanding that you're not alone. And even if it is a stranger, it's a well-trained stranger who is going to show you empathy and support and just be there in your time of need.
Tim Jansen is Chief Executive Officer at Community Crisis Services. Again, that new number for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is 988. And now for some related audio. You may be wondering about the privacy implications of calling 988. What happens if you call? Will they know who you are? Jansen says this.
You can be completely 100% anonymous on the Lifeline. You don't have to say anything. We will ask some demographic information because, you know, funders want it. They want to know who's reaching out. And sometimes more importantly, they want to know if we're missing, you know, groups of folk. But any data provided is completely confidential unless somebody is in life-threatening emergency or in some sort of situation with abuse or neglect of a child or a vulnerable adult. You know, now if they need to be connected to resources or we need to send a mobile team, we get permission. We collect that information. That information is completely confidential, you know, and follows HIPAA regulations and confidentiality of mental health information being shared, and we get permission. So we make sure that the person knows we're going to collect this, we're going to hand it off to the mobile team, who may need some more information so that we can get out and see you and figure out what we need to do to stabilize whatever situation you've got going on or to connect you with the resources who can do that.
Again, that's Tim Jansen at Community Crisis Services. The thing is, as you heard him say, if a crisis counselor decides that a caller is a risk to themselves or others, that counselor can and sometimes will work with the police to figure out the person's location and send officers. But active rescue, as it's sometimes called, could lead to forced hospitalizations and unexpected medical bills. And critics argue that police are often not equipped to intervene in someone's mental health crisis and could make a situation worse. Some crisis centers will send mental health professionals instead of police, but it depends where you live. We'll have a couple links that make a case against active rescue, including a page from Trans Lifeline, a crisis call line that only intervenes if a caller asks them to, if there is a credible threat to a third party, or if there's suspected child abuse or neglect. We'll also link to the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, which is now 988, on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Marielle Segarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.